across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, the Martin Malloy surveillance teams are out on the street looking for one Michael Bolton. He's out there somewhere, and we'll be finding out if you've had a brush with Bolters. Also today, we'll lift the lid on the Martin Malloy Hair Replacement Clinic. We've got celebrity medical emergencies, and on Duet with Pete, your chance to pull on the levers and play Dennis Hopper to Mr. Copper Art's Peter Fonda. On Radio Gladiators, we'll once again be asking, have you made a dick of yourself? And joining us live, Michael Spivey from the Bad Loves, and a bit of a treat in store. I think the Loves might be treating us to a bit of a live number. We'll find out all this and hopefully more coming up on the program that's been recalled because of problems with the cruise control, Martin Malloy. Peter Andre, he's a mysterious girl here on Martin Malloy. It's Thursday, folks, and welcome aboard. Who's in today? Well, it's myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke, a man who clearly confused, showed up at Flemington this arvo thinking it was Laurie Oaks Day, Mick Malloy.
Spent 5 hours squeezing into that girdle, Tony, and all for nothing.
Well, good on you, and welcome aboard. You're just in time, actually, Mickey, for a brand new segment.
Oh.
It's not a pleasant segment.
It's not.
But at least it's brand new here on Martin Malloy. It's time for Celebrity Medical Emergencies. And here we go. Quite a few celebrity medical emergencies today. Listen to this. One of our favourites, Mickey. Former Playboy centrefold Anna Nicole Smith has been rushed to intensive care in Los Angeles, suffering from what her spokesman describes as an unspecified overdose. Gee, what would that be? An overdose of silicon, possibly? Smith, who is rumoured to have had up to 10 breast enhancement operations in the last year. Now I can understand one or two. I mean, she lives in California. I think it's mandatory. You know, if you're a woman, as soon as you turn 18, you get your driver's license, breast enhancement surgery, and a date with Charlie Sheen. It's in the Constitution.
Yep.
But 10! 10 operations after 5 or 6, wouldn't you maybe consider a Wonder Bra? I mean, it worked for Laurie Oaks, as we know. But Smith was apparently depressed after visiting her father in a nursing home. Well, I know she hates those places. You know what she calls them, don't you? Meat markets.
Is that right?
It's true. Visiting her father or shopping for an engagement ring. You be the judge. Actually, I saw Anna Nicole on the TV the other night, and she's still wearing the wedding ring from her marriage to the late oil tycoon J. Howard Marshall. And she said to the interviewer, I'm not ready to take it off yet. Now I'm thinking, well, not till that settlement comes through. I'll bet you are. Then it'll be straight into the bag for the salvos. I'm not ready to take it off yet. Gee, that'd be the only thing she's not ready to take off. I bet she would have Playboy offered her 60 grand. But in the interview, she said she's sick of the slurs and innuendo surrounding her marriage to the 91-year-old millionaire, and she strenuously denies she was simply using him for sex. So we'll find out what's happened to Anna Nicole as details come to hand. But in the meantime, and this isn't pretty, and in fact, the young folk might want to just move away from their radios for a moment. This is another celebrity medical emergency. Listen to this.
I'll be in the next room.
You might want to be after this, Mickey. Penis chop victim, John Wayne Bobbitt. Now, that's how they describe him in this article in a respected daily newspaper. Imagine having to put that on your tax return. Anyway, PCV John Wayne Bobbitt was rushed to an LA medical centre himself after, and this isn't pretty, stitches in his injured organ came loose. I'm sorry, it's in the paper. It's in the paper. It's clearly a slow news day. But Bobbitt, who now makes a living starring in sex movies, had his member enlarged last month. You can do that, can you?
Apparently, yes.
Yeah, you'd have to think seriously, though, wouldn't you? It's not like extending the rumpus room. Do you need council approval? I'm adding on. I'll send over a copy of the plans. But anyway, he's had the op and he's clearly returned to work too quickly. He couldn't wait to show it off. He's like a kid who refuses to wait an hour after eating before going for a swim. But the scene he was attempting was clearly too ambitious. This is all from the papers, folks. And the result was several popped stitches. Now, I know it's not painting a very attractive picture, but I'm afraid it gets worse because I have here a recording of the actual incident. Take a listen.
Okay, John, yes, that's fantastic. Oh, this is some of your finest work yet, darling. Yes, that's... Oh, my God! Oh, he's blown a gasket! Somebody call an ambulance! Quickly, run for your lives!
That's Club Nouveau with Lean On Me here at Martin Molloy. And people who listen to the program regularly will know how much Mick and myself admire the work of one Michael Bolton, isn't it, right, Mickey?
We're at the airport waiting. Open with the banner, Bolters, we love you.
And the pairs of underpants ready to chuck them at him. But no sign of him. He's in town. He's in Australia somewhere. I think he's been in Melbourne signing stuff down at Myers there. Mm-hmm. I think he might be signing stuff at Sydney in the suburbs somewhere.
Yep.
And obviously he's around, so someone must have seen him.
We need to speak to those people.
That's right. We want you to call us if maybe you saw Bolters at the signing. Maybe you've seen him down the shops. Maybe you've seen him at the hairdressers.
You've got to have really seen him.
Yeah.
This isn't, you know, an attempt to win a prize by saying, you know, I saw him on the Ferris wheel at such and such, you know, just before he, you know, went off the side. But we wanted the real thing.
Obviously, if you saw him on a Ferris wheel, that'd certainly impress us.
We'll find a prize. We'll give you something.
But it's not Radio Gladiator, so don't make him up. We want your brushes with Bolters. Call us now on
1-800-657-657.
At last. A full head of something vaguely resembling hair from a distance of 15 metres can be yours simply by visiting the Martin Molloy Enhanced Hair Studios.
Hello, welcome to Enhanced Hair. How can we help you?
I was just wondering if there's anything you could do for me with regards to the upstairs department.
Certainly, sir. We'll have you feeling like a new man in no time.
Sorry?
Doctor!
First, you'll meet one of our qualified enhanced hair technicians for a free measure and quote.
So, is there anything you can do?
Oh, yes. Don't you worry about a thing.
And what styles do you offer?
Oh, let's see. Well, there's this one. This one. Or my favourite, this one.
And they're all reasonably priced?
Oh, yes.
Using our unique grand-by-grand technique, we'll extract thousands of dollars from your bank account, but gradually, so that even your own accountant won't notice, and the results look sensational.
Right, nurse, this is our new patient.
Hello.
Pleased to meet you.
Now, this is the piece, one of our more natural looks... And now, if you'll just lie back, we'll commence the completely painless and highly intricate attachment procedure. Here we go. Left side. Oh, right side. Front. Oh, back.
The Martin Molloy Enhanced Hair Studios, where the answer is yes. We are pulling the piss.
All right, that completes the procedure. Nurse, the mirror. Thanks.
Oh, that looks fantastic.
Martin Molloy Enhanced Hair. It'll make even your closest friends go... That's KD Lang, If I Were You, from the new album All You Can Eat. And KD's going to be sitting in on the show tomorrow in the second hour, Mickey.
Excellent.
So we'll have her jumping through hoops and possibly even doing a duet with Pete.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
We can but dream. But what we're doing today on Martin Molloy, folks, is we're asking you if you've had a brush with Michael Bolton, because he's in the country at the moment. Who have we got on the line, Mickey?
Well, we've got someone who's not afraid to mention the fact that they did see him at a signing, and it's Lisa. G'day, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Oh, you still sound all bubbly and frothy after your meeting with Michael. How'd it go?
Good, good.
Were you happy?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Because you're a fan?
Yeah, I love him. He's great.
Where did this take place, Lisa?
Myer in the city.
Right, and did you queue up with lots of people there?
Well, I had to come from an appointment, so I sort of left...
That would be with a therapist.
No, so I left there at about 4 o'clock and got there at 4:30 and he came on at 4:30, so I had to queue up for an hour and a half.
All right. But, like, what did he do?
Nothing. He didn't really do a lot. I mean, I saw him last time. I queued up for 5 hours last time he was out.
What did he do last time?
Yeah, he was at Southland.
And what did he do then?
Nothing. He just talked and he actually said a bit more than what he did this time. He basically, they just had huge screens up and stuff of his songs and stuff, so he didn't say too much last night.
Did you get to touch him?
I did. I shook his hand.
Did you? And when he shook your hand, did he say, "Can I touch you there"?
No, I did, though.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. And what did he sign for you?
He just signed his name.
All right. You didn't get into any... I know it's an unpleasant thing to bring up. You didn't get into any of that breast signing, did you?
No.
No, because people do that. And I hate it when people, you know, get you to sign the breast and they go, "It's not for me, it's for a friend." Okay, Lisa, thanks very much. You've had a ball down there,
Lisa.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Did you throw anything?
No.
You were throwing under dips?
No, well, I thought my undies might have been a bit dirty, so I didn't.
Oh, well, thanks for telling us about that on national radio, Lisa. You're a very brave person. Maybe, first Michael maybe, Bolton, now the underpants.
Maybe you could throw them in the washing machine. We'll speak to you soon, Lisa. You go and have a lie down. You're obviously still very excited. Well, that's one side of the argument. Let's see if we can contact someone else who happened to be there. Kelly, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, now, were you queuing up for hours?
2 hours with my sister, who dragged me there, because I'm not really a fan.
Oh, you're not a fan?
Oh, well, he's all right. When I saw him, you know, in person, I suppose he was all right. He could cut his hair, maybe.
And were you impressed by the fact that he just came out and did nothing?
Well, I didn't really expect much more, but no, he was good. He was all right. But my sister sort of was a bit over the top.
What was she doing?
Oh, screaming and sort of tears in her eyes.
Oh,
stuff,
no.
That sort of stuff.
Right.
But I got him to sign my one-year-old daughter's T-shirt because I found myself standing in front of him with nothing to sign or nothing to do because I was taking a picture of my sister. So I had to do something. So my daughter's got a T-shirt with his signature on it.
Is it a day you'll never forget?
Oh, yeah.
And what did he look like?
Forever.
Tell me what he was wearing.
Oh, typical, usual jeans.
Apart from a stupid head of hair.
The jeans, the white T-shirt, the black, what do you call it, jacket.
Right.
Same as he always wears, really.
Yeah.
No socks on, though. He didn't have any socks on his feet.
Yeah, well, someone should have thrown
him
a pair.
Shoes on, but no
maybe
socks.
Maybe he should have been holding this soiree down in menswear.
Yeah, maybe.
Dressed the clown.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Now, Kelly, it says in the paper that somebody at one point shouted out the phrase, "He's a stud muffin." It wasn't your sister by any chance?
No, I don't think so. She was too overwhelmed. The girl down the front wanted to be artificially inseminated by him, though.
Yeah, I don't think that's something he does at the shopping centres.
No, I don't.
I think you have to make an appointment.
Probably.
Okay, thanks very much, Kelly. Anyone else, Mickey?
I think we've got one more call. We've got Neil on the line. G'day, Neil.
Hey, fellas. How are you?
Neil, congratulations. You went to the signing. What did he sign? Your butt. Were you there?
No, I didn't. I was just, I'll explain to you.
14.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm at work at the moment.
What exactly was number 14?
Pump 14.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, you'd be at a 7-Eleven.
BP.
A BP?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Last night was my only night off for the week from work, and I'm going to visit my cousin in Airport West. So anyway, I'm driving down and I just realised, oh no, I'm low on smokes. Popping in the 7-Eleven there, there's this huge mass of hair. Yeah. Like when I'm there, you just turned around, I'm like, oh no, my worst nightmare has come true.
Maybe it wasn't Michael Bolton. It was just someone in a grotesque get-up because they were holding up the joint.
One thing I must ask, though, the guy's a millionaire. Why didn't he get a haircut?
Well, it's a question a lot of people are asking, Neil. And by the way, why do you have to stop at the 7-Eleven for smokes? Couldn't you just pinch him from the servo?
I'm a nice, honest young gentleman. Thank you very much.
Well, you've told us about your encounter with Michael Bolton, so yes, you are.
You had any other famous customers there at the BP?
Let's see, I'm just trying to think here.
Oh, we'll take your time.
No one that I can think of.
None that you can think of?
Nope.
All right.
Okay, well, thanks for helping us out with a brush with Bolters today, Neil.
Thank you.
And thanks for everybody who had a brush, and we'll be back with more in a moment here on Martin Malloy. What's up? That's Four Non-Blondes on Martin Malloy. In the next hour, well, we'll have Michael Spybe from the Bad Loves coming in, and the rest of the band are going to be lurking around and possibly favouring us with a live version of their single Caroline. Also, we've got Duet with Pete, and this is a chance, in case you're not listening in the next hour, it's a chance for you to
call us up and sing a duet with Mr. Copper Art. And do you remember how it went yesterday, Mickey?
Unfortunately, yes.
We had the artist currently known as Graham on the line, and he had a crack at Crocodile Rock. Take a listen to this.
I remember when rock was young.
Me and Susie had so much fun.
Holding hands and skimming stones.
We had an old gold Chevy and a place of my own.
But the biggest kick I ever got
was doing a thing called the Crocodile Rock.
While the other kids were rocking round the clock,
we were hopping and bopping to the Crocodile Rock, yeah!
Crocodile rocking is something shocking.
When your feet just can't keep still.
I never knew me a better time.
And I guess I never will.
Oh, Lordy Mama.
Those Friday nights.
Susie wore her dress that's tight.
When Crocodile Rockin' was out of sight. Oop.
La. La, 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 la.
La, 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 la.
La, 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 la.
Oh, fantastic. I only played that again because I just wanted to hear Pete say, oh, Lordy Mama, one more time. But people, if you think you can do better...
La, 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 la.
Oh, yes. Let's just can we play it again right now, Gracie? No, maybe not. If you think you can do better, be listening in the next hour for Duet with Pete. But next up, it's Radio Gladiators. It's Martin Molloy where, yes, it's time for...
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
And today it's one of our old favourites. It's Made a Dick of Myself stories. It's stories about yourself where you've perhaps said the wrong thing and made a bit of a dick of yourself. Now, I'll give you one. This happened to me a couple of years ago. I was getting some kind of insurance, some kind of house and contents kind of insurance. And you know you get the book for the insurance people and you can't follow a word of it. There's about 700 rules and regulations. So I've called up a mate of mine who's a lawyer and, in fact, an ex-member of the D Generation, but I can't name him for legal reasons. And I've called him up and I've said, look, this book I've got from the insurance company, it's just written in another language. It's so bloody hard. Mm. And I've slagged the book for about 5 minutes.
As you do.
And I've gone in hard and he's gone, actually, my wife wrote that book. So it was a cue for the wah-wah-wah music and she's a lawyer too. Yeah. And the pair of them are taking me to court. So there you go.
Good luck. But, we can need any character references. You come to me, my boy.
I will if I can't get my...
I got one. I was with you, actually. It was just prior to one of our many Bert Newton appearances.
Yeah.
And we were at the Channel 10 studios. And there's a television identity there. I'm not sure if he's truly national. His name is David Johnson.
Yeah.
And he'd been doing a show for some time called Meet the Press.
Mm.
And anyway, well, we've met him coming out of makeup. He was saying, oh, hi, how are you? I love your show and you guys are really good. And I said, and you too, David. And I must say, I love that show you do, Meet the Press. Mm. I never miss it because it's one of my favourites and probably one of the most informative programs on national television. Nay, any of the mass media outlets in Australia. I think you do a great service.
Yeah.
And he turned to me and said, I haven't done that in over 8 months now. And in fact, mentioned someone else who'd been hosting it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I scarped off, got makeup, so I look like someone completely different. And snuck out of the building.
And on the way out, Bert and him ganged up on us and just punched the crap out of us.
Yes, they do.
That's television for you, people. Can you go better? Have you got a faux pas or a made a dick of myself story? Prizes? Well, firstly, we're talking the Sonny Discman, brought to you by 4 and 20, the pie that's so good you can eat it. And then beyond that, you go into the draw for the Ford Festiva, winner of the Nobel Prize for Auto Engineering. Mm.
What are you telling me for?
It's the smallest on the outside, but the biggest on the inside.
I know that.
I think we know that. And it's brought to you by the Ford Australian Open. So call now with your Made a Dick of Myself stories, 1-800-657-657. Waterfalls, that's TLC on Martin Molloy. It's Radio Gladiators. We're in the thick of it today. We're asking for Made a Dick of Yourself stories. And, Mick, have we received any
that we can actually put to air?
Well, me and Emma have been doing the phones, and we've been bitterly disappointed at the sordid nature of most of the make a dick of yourself stories. So we've cleaned it up a bit, and we've culled it down. We've got a few we think are presentable. Our first caller, in fact, is Catherine. G'day, Catherine.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
All right, now tell us, how did you make a dick of yourself?
It wasn't actually me, it was my cousin.
Yeah, right. Get on with it. We know it's you. Come on.
When we were in Paris, we were at a station trying to buy two train tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And he went up to the guy selling tickets and asked for a love letter, because he thought he could speak French properly and couldn't.
So he's asked the guy for a love letter?
Yeah.
And are they still pen pals today?
Oh, I don't know.
Is he still receiving correspondence from a Frenchman?
And how did you work out eventually that you'd asked for the wrong thing?
I can speak French a bit better than him, and I just laughed at him and told everyone about it.
All right, so that's your capus. Send the bunny up to make a fool of himself while you sit in the background and have a good hard cat.
Well
done,
right.
Catherine.
Oh, I think there's a job for Catherine on Just Kidding. Very nice, very nice. I think we can, have we got any more dicks, Mick?
We can go better. Lisa, are you there?
Yeah, hi, how are you?
You sound like a prize dick to me now. Lisa, talk us through it. What have you done?
Well, again, it wasn't me. Well, it was sort of me, but it was my friend more than it was me.
Okay.
This was some years ago. We were going to see Revenge of the Nerds 2.
Mm. Yes, and that's, it's not enough to get you a prize, but...
biographical, is it? Sorry, Lisa.
Anyway, I had my burger rings and a Coke, and my friend had her Coke, and we sat down. Mm-hmm. And the Twisties ad came on, and it was like a packed house. It was the cinema was just packed.
Mm.
And the old Twisties ad where the guy comes out of the screen and he shouted out, "Excuse me," and I stood up and I said, "Yes," and everyone laughed. And he said, "Are they Twisties?" And I shouted out, "No, they're burger rings." And I just had the whole cinema in absolute hysterics. And my friend sitting next to me, she wasn't expecting it. Yeah. And she just dropped her Coke down her top and like all over the people next to her and in front of her. And to make things worse, after the movie, because we were sitting right up the back, she tripped over herself and tumbled right down the stairs and sprained her ankle.
And why do I get the feeling that all of this was far more amusing than the picture you're going to see? Was there anything that funny in Nerds 2?
I can't remember, actually.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's somebody's definitely made a dick of themselves in that little scenario. So thanks for that, Lisa. And I think we've got time for one more, Mickey.
We've got one more dick in the tank, and it's a young man named Paul. Paul, are you there?
Paul.
Oh, this little thing again. Isn't it? Our last call is always...
It's a traditional moment on Gladiators now. It's a relaxing, ambient kind of moment. Let's just savour it just for a second. Here we go.
Mm. Paul?
Yes, there we go. I think we all feel a lot better
now. We don't
have
any Paul, is that right?
Is Paul gone? Well, I'm afraid it's going to have to go then to Lisa! Are you still there, Lisa?
Woohoo!
Because we've made a dick of ourselves right here on the segment. You've been our winner today. Yeah. You've got the Sony Discman.
Thanks.
And will you have to pass that on to the person that made a dick of themselves, or are you going to own up and say it was you?
No, it wasn't me, but I wouldn't give it to her anyway.
All right, fair enough. Well, you've both gone into the draw for the Ford Festiva.
Cool, thanks.
And thanks for playing Radio Gladiators. Thanks to all the dicks who took part and those who didn't. We'll be back with more and, Gladiators tomorrow. And also, stick around, people, because after the news, we've got a treat for you. We're going to be joined by Michael Spivey from the Bad Loves, and the Loves themselves are going to do a bit of a live number for us right here on Martin Malloy.
This hour of Martin Malloy, duet with Pete Moore, Unpleasantness from the Madonna Files. But next up, we're face-to-face with a bad love, one Michael Spivey. All thanks to Telstra, MobileNet Digital.
Right, if you could just say, ah. Right, that seems all in order. And just turn to the left and cough. Thank you, people. It's the second hour of Martin Malloy, and time to welcome a bloke whose band, the Bad Loves, took the nation by storm with their debut album, Get On Board, and now they're back with a newie, Holy Roadside. Here's Michael Spivey. Michael, thanks for coming in today.
Me. Is it me?
That's
yeah,
you.
It's me. It's me by myself.
How's the voice holding in?
Well, it's beaut. No, it's just beaut, thanks.
Do you drink a lot of honey, that kind of thing? What's your vocal technique?
Oh, go on, get out of it. I'm a hard-living sort of boy. Honey and lemon and... No, I just have lollies, basically.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, a few strepsils, that kind of thing. Because
yeah.
I know our own Pete. Do you know the work of Pete Smith, Michael? Can I ask you that?
Of course I do. He's a legend.
Yeah, we've got a segment called Duet with Pete where if you wanted to, you could pop down to a phone box now, you could call him up and do a Whitney Houston number with him. Is that appealing at all?
Should we wait here?
Would he know the words?
He would.
That's a bit of a worry.
He's memorised them all. But it's funny because we had him in the booth the other day and we'd just been listening to your new album in the office and we had him in the booth and he's trying to knock out. What was he doing? I think he was having
a Hard Day's Night?
Yeah, Hard Day's Night, or maybe it was a bit of Bon Jovi. And we were using your name as an adjective. We were going, can you make it a bit more spibey? Can you spibe it up a bit? Do people use that?
Did
you
say who?
No. Pete's familiar with. He's writing a review of the album for us, so we'll pass it on.
Watch
to you.
Out.
And how have the reviews been?
Pretty good, actually.
Do you care about reviews?
Pretty good at the moment, yeah.
You do?
When they go on your way, of course
all
you do.
Right.
Now,
all
with that Holy Roadside, are you getting a bit of this, Michael? Difficult second album? Are you getting that?
No, I suppose. People sort of said it's a difficult time, and it was, but, you know, it's over, so who cares?
And how long in the studio?
10 damn months.
Right. Now, when you get to the end of a process like that, do you know what it is then, or do you have to wait till you kind of, you know, leave it and come back to it?
No, you pretty much have to leave it a couple of months and come back to it. Yeah. We're just starting to see what the first album was like. You know?
What do you make of it? What's it like?
We're pretty slow. I disown it completely. I wouldn't have a bar of it.
Nothing to do with you. Now, for this one, you've gone to LA to do a bit of work. Is that right?
I ended up in LA, yeah. We needed a fresh set of ears on the thing.
The only fresh set of ears you could rely on were in LA, is that right?
Well, it belonged to a Spanish man. That was the only concession. He wasn't purebred American, but, it surprised us, that's for sure. We wanted to do it here.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, you're sitting in LA in a studio doing a bit of work on your album. Do you feel like a proper rock star then?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you've made it?
It's amazing, you know, because we had the big hair. There was hairdressers coming while you're doing the mix and
is
stuff.
Is that right?
Yeah. And we just sort of hung it. We turned into a real LA band.
Because you filmed some of it, didn't you, while you were making the album?
Just about everything.
We're going to get a making of or some kind of doco?
There's going to be quite some embarrassing moments. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, every embarrassing moment, I imagine. Because that's the stuff they want to see. Mm-hmm. They want to see the good stuff.
And were there any sort of Trogs-style fights backstage? Is any gold on that film?
As soon as the camera was off, they went like...
Okay, now we want to get into this album in a bit more detail. Can you hang around for a bit, Michael?
Surely.
Okay, and I believe the band have been out the back knocking up a live version of the single Caroline. Here it is now. Have a listen live on Martin Malloy. And Michael Spibey himself is still with us on the panel. Michael, do you hear from Barnsley at all these days?
I haven't heard from him for a while, actually. Mm. You know, is he still here or what?
I'm not sure, is he? No, I think he's still in Europe somewhere. Yeah. But returning, isn't he doing something with
Bon Jovi?
He is, in fact, that's right, he is too.
He is too, in a big way.
Absolutely, well, we look forward to hearing from him soon. So you don't keep up, who are your rock star friends? I mean, you must run with a pretty fast crowd.
Well, Barry, although we thought Barry Crocker was our rock star
Barry
mate, but
wasn't.
He had a 60th yesterday, we weren't invited.
Oh, is that right?
We had nothing on either.
You give him everything. You go out of your way and he turns on you like a mongrel dog.
What do you get?
Now, you write a lot of songs, don't you, Michael?
It's a bad habit of mine.
Where do you draw from for inspiration? Because I know this, me and Tane, you know, we write an occasional joke. And whenever we're out with people, like, you know, be out at a pub or you'd be playing pool, someone will make a bit of a dick of themselves and I'll turn around and go, I bet you that's going to turn up in a sketch, hey? Do you ever get that?
Actually, it doesn't, you know.
It doesn't?
It doesn't usually happen because it's plagiarism.
Oh, right.
My style, pure plagiarism. And like, you don't have to have any life experiences at all. You can just watch telly.
Watching telly now, I believe that one of the songs on the album, I think, is it Precious, was inspired by I Dream of Jeannie, if I got that right?
Well, you know, every time that that camera goes down into that bottle, you know, in that show, you can't help yourself. I mean, you want to be there. And as a teenager, that's where I wanted to be.
Got any tunes on Gilligan?
No, actually, but Mary Ann was pretty cute, wasn't she?
Maybe you know what you should do? How's this? Go and get yourself hooked up to pay TV.
Right.
Sit down and watch it, because you'll have a double album out by morning. You got your Bewitched, you've got your I Dream of Genies, Gilligan, non-stop.
David Gillis,
we can organise that.
Yeah.
Maybe on the Encore channel.
Now, another track on the album is inspired by the film Muriel's Wedding. I'm talking about Barefoot Bride. Is that correct as well? So you look to the movies as well as the telly for your inspiration.
Yeah, yeah, for my plagiarism.
Got any songs about talking pigs yet? Have you got anything like that?
No, but I reckon there's going to be one about bananas in pyjamas. Because I, really? I see quite a bit of that, unfortunately.
What about a video with Bad Loves in Pyjamas? Is that of any help at all?
No.
Okay, moving on. Now, what about Holy Roadside, the title track of the album, the track that winds the whole thing up? What's all that about? What's going on
there? I wish I knew. Mm-hmm. It's an ode to the road, and every rock band that's worth its salt writes a road song. You know, there's back of the roadhouse, I've got someone to love. There's going up the country, canned heat, you know, and we've done this. Who knows what it is? It's a bloody mess. It really is, but it's an ode to the road nonetheless.
And you spent a lot of time on the road?
Too damn right we did.
How do you travel? Do you travel in a bus? Do you fly in? What do you do?
Oh, we used to be in the back of a 12-seater and then in a Tarago, and we've stepped up. Occasionally we fly, and occasionally, you know, if the tour's going real bad midway through, you're not making much money, we're out hitchhiking.
You're out hitchhiking.
It's sad, but
every
you know,
man for himself.
Yeah.
So, people, if you're driving up one of the streets of Australia and you see a Bad Love on the side of the road with a thumb out, they've got a new album out. Stop the car. Help them out if you can. Well, all the best with the tour and with the album.
Thank you kindly.
And difficult third album. Work started already, has it?
It's getting harder and harder. I thought it'd get easier.
Any surprises? Anything you can blow the lid off? Any exclusives, Michael? What are you sitting on?
Well, you know, I reckon we've ignored technology for a hell of a long time, you know, for the whole existence of the band. I think we'll get into that.
So out with the soul gear, in with the hexagonal-shaped drums, pseudo-echo style.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
We're talking in the bold writing.
We're talking Ultravox.
I guess so, yeah.
All right. Yeah. It's about time it all came back into fashion, isn't it? It's been too long.
Well, all the best of luck to you, Michael.
Thank you kindly.
And thanks for joining us today for a bit of intellectual discussion right here on Martin Molloy. Collectors and collectors, where do you go on Martin Molloy? Thanks very much to Spibes for coming in for a bit of a chat. And don't forget, you can see the Bad Loves in person. If you're in Wollongong tomorrow night, don't miss them at Waves. If you're in Sydney on Saturday night, they're at the Metro. Mm-hmm. And then next week, next Thursday, in fact, they'll be in Brisbane. Yeah, and I can't read the writing here, but I'm assuming that's the Grand Orbit. Is that right there, Emma? The Grand Orbit. The Orbit. We all know the Orbit. And Saturday week, still at the Gold Coast, the Playroom. So that's, have you been to the Playroom, Mickey? It's fantastic.
Not for a few years now.
Everything's just made out of foam rubber.
Is it?
It's got all balls. It fills up with balls.
It's like a big crash.
it's like that. And there's a bit of rock music as well.
Excellent.
It's a melting pot, this program, isn't it?
Like, you nailed it again.
You know, when we're doing our rock interviews with people like Michael Spivey, do you suppose Glenn O'Baker's sitting up close to the radio with a pen and paper, just taking down a few notes and seeing how it's done properly?
Transcribing furiously.
Because, like, did you like how at the end of the first segment I've gone, stick around because we'd like to talk about the album in more detail. And we got to the song. And we've come back, and I think we've spent 5 minutes talking about I Dream a Genie.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
You're never going to, like, leave here going, oh, gee, they're tough. They ask the hard questions, don't they? No one's ever done that.
We've got, believe it or not, people, Sir David Putnam in on the program next week. And do you suppose he's already perhaps phoning up his publicist and cancelling?
He's packing. He's leaving the country.
Is he the first knight we've had on the show?
I think he is.
Mm.
Is he?
Oh, he could be.
Nobody? Somebody?
Yeah. No? They haven't knighted...
Angry Anderson?
No, they haven't. It's in the wind, though. Sir Angry. It's going to happen. But enough of this chit-chat, because, yeah, it's time for business. Okay, Pete, and don't forget, people, every word that Pete Smith says on this program is true. Now, if you'd like to sing Born to be Wild with Pete Smith, firstly, I think you know what you'll need. It's a pen and paper. Go and get one, people. We're not going to talk to you till you've got it. And did you know, Mickey, I saw an interview with the Booker Prize winner, in fact, Pat Barker, and they said, how'd you come up with this novel? Yeah. And she's gone pen and paper music. Yeah. Can't write a word without the pen and paper music.
I was parked the other day, and there was a guy giving me a ticket, and he's writing it out. I said, hey, just what you do? You're going to need some pen and paper music.
Pen and paper music.
And out it came.
And, of course, you had it on...
$40 worth.
You got it on the 8-track in the car, so very handy. We've made it to the end of the pen and paper music. Always a special moment on Martin Molloy, but give us a call if you'd like to duet with Pete. 1-800-657-657.
The new SAFM.
Welcome to the Martin Molloy Vegas Lounge, where all that stands between one lucky listener and the prestigious Die Hard with a Vengeance prize pack and a shot at the Ford Festiva is a simple little duet with Pete Smith. Who have you got, Mickey?
We've got Kylie on the line. Hello, Kylie.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, okay.
Not Kylie Minogue, is it?
Because she loves it.
She loves a duet. Well, we got something better for you. Forget that Nick Cave. Yeah. We've got the master, Pete Smith.
And there's very little chance of Pete smashing your head with a rock. You know, he's
not
into that kind of stuff.
Not
Kyle.
His speed.
No. So you ready to go, Kylie?
Okay.
And this all relies on you. You give it a red hot go. Don't die wondering. This is your shot at the big time. It's Born to be Wild. Take it away, Pete and Kylie.
Get your motor running.
Head out on the highway.
Looking for adventure.
Whatever comes our way.
Yeah, darling, gonna make it happen.
Take the world in a loving grace.
Fire all of the guns at once.
And explode into space.
Like a true nature's child.
We were born to be wild.
We can climb so high.
I never wanna die.
Born to be wild.
Born to be wild.
Oh, Kylie, is that a song that you just sing around the house even when Pete's not doing it with you?
I'm not that old.
Do you have a motorbike, Kylie?
No.
But you must want to go out and buy one now, mustn't you?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, well, Mickey's been totting up the score. What have you got, Mickey?
Oh, look, I'm gonna put her over the top, Tone. I'm gonna give Kylie a 6.
What?
Oh,
six. I don't know how you come to these decisions, King and Judge Mick Malloy, but...
I don't know either, but she it was, I think it was just, word perfect. She didn't, get off the rails. And whilst, the exuberance was kind of lacking,
yeah.
I think Pete compensated.
Yeah, I'll believe you, but any judge in the land might disagree. But okay, you're into the lounge, Kylie. You've got, firstly, the diehard prize pack.
Great.
And that's got Die Hard with a Vengeance and everything you can think of with Die Hard written on it. And, of course, you've gone into the draw for the Ford Festiva, courtesy of the Ford Australian Open.
Great.
And how are you going to explain this to your friends?
Hopefully they weren't listening tonight.
Oh, no, I don't think they've heard.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll tidy it up before it goes to air. Okay, thanks for playing along, Kylie.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with another duet with Pete tomorrow on Martin to the Water. That's Merrill Bainbridge on Martin Malloy.
The Spring Racing Carnival continues this week at Flemington, and so too does the time-honoured tradition of shouting at horses.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
There's more to drink in than Australia's finest horse flesh as the champagne flows freely and you rub shoulders with the stars as you work out which horse you want to shout at next.
Hey, look, here comes Peter Russell Clark.
No, it's Darren Hinge.
I think you'll find it's Peter Russell Clark.
Darren Hinge.
Russell Clark.
Hinge.
Russell Clark.
Come on,
G'day.
Meet some of the world's most influential people as they jet in to watch the race that stops a nation.
Ah, boys, I'd like to introduce you to Omar Farouk, the Egyptian foreign minister.
Oh, g'day, how's it going? Yeah, I've always been fascinated by the historical importance of Tutankhamun.
Yes, although I find the existing data on Ramesses II far more illuminating.
Oh, no, definitely Tutankhamun.
Ramesses.
Tutankhamun. Ramesses. Come on, Tutankhamun. Here goes Tutankhamun. Here you go. Oh, no, Queen Nefertiti! Oh, Jesus!
When you're not trying to find a winner, join the throng of tortured punters trying to find a comfort station.
Oh, come on, I think I better find a toilet. Jeez.
Oh, I don't know if you're going to make it. Maybe you should wee your pants.
No, I'll find a toilet.
Wee your pants!
I'll find a toilet.
Come on, wee your pants! Wee him! Come on, here we go! Wee him! Yes, he's weed his pants! You guilty!
So don't miss all the action of the 1995 Spring Racing Carnival, where the racing continues long after the running of the last.
Oh, quick, it's the cops. See if you can make the lights.
Yeah, but it's going to turn red.
No, it's amber.
Red, amber, red, 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 red
potato!
Jeez, you're a silly sausage.
No, I'm not, Chumbly Bum.
Silly sausage.
Chumbly Bum.
Silly
Chumbly Bum. Chumbly Bum. Chumbly Bum. Chumbly
Bum. It's Brown. And it's coming. From Martin Malloy.